in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and the opportunity that we have to be at your feet again to listen to your word. Father, we pray that this time will be a time of encounter with you. It will be a time of refreshing, and it will be a time of commissioning. It will be a time of restoration. It will be a time of healing and strengthening to our heart and to our bodies. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, and Merry Christmas to everyone. It's a privilege for me to be standing here this Sunday to share with you God's word. And I would like to invite you to open your Bible in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 21 down to 33. Luke chapter 2, 21 down to 33. I'm reading from NIV. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification, rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. This is God's word. The title of our sharing this morning is Waiting on the Promise Keeper. Waiting on the Promise Keeper. You know, the Lord is a Lord who keeps his word. He keeps his promises. But if there is one thing that we are not very much prepared to in this world, through our education and as we go on into this life, there are many things we are prepared for. We are prepared to be strong. We are prepared to be swift. We are prepared to be excellent in the things that we do and to do them very fast. But we are not very much prepared to be waiters, to be people who wait. In fact, in many aspects, in many areas of this life, waiting is not something that is rewarded. Most times, people are rewarded for being fast, for speed, for doing things quickly, for getting things done very quickly, and to see themselves moving through life very quickly. For example, I remember my mother was very worried a few years back, she was very worried because she was seeing that I was aging, but I was not getting married. Yeah, she was worried because in her opinion, I was somehow late, and she wanted me to get married very, very quick and have kids very quick and get a job very quick. And honestly, I was not really rushing, especially when it comes to marriage. I was taking my time. I was not even looking for anybody. I was just enjoying my singlehood. And but this morning, I want to speak to somebody who has been waiting. I don't know what it is. Desperately waiting and waiting for something that only God can do. And I've come to tell you, if you're in this case, keep on waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. We don't know how long he waited, but one thing we know, that he had waited for a long time for the fulfillment of the promise. And one thing we know is that he was so much in the waiting mood that when the time came, the Bible says he was led by the Holy Spirit into the temple to see the salvation, the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. So maybe you are among those who have been told, how long will you keep waiting? People are looking at you and wonder. So you're still waiting for that God. How can you just decide to waste your time waiting for some spiritual intervention? Look, just do like everyone else doing. After all, God will understand. Everyone, every other Christian around you is doing the same thing. Just do it. Stop waiting time, wasting time. The word for today is wait. Don't quit waiting on the Lord. Waiting is not a waste of time. But what does it mean to wait on God? When we say waiting on God, what does it mean practically? Does it mean just letting the time pass? Is it what we mean by waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord means keeping God as your plan A, keeping God as your plan B, as your plan C, your plan D, your plan E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. That is waiting on God. Waiting on God is having no alternative to God as the source of your answer. Hallelujah. That is waiting. Waiting on the Lord means keep doing the right thing. Even when there is no result, you keep doing the right thing. Waiting on God means finding rest in knowing God is good and is faithful. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord, because if he says something, he will do it. Brothers and sisters, in God, for God, there is no difference between saying and doing. That is only possible with us humans. But when God says something, consider it done. Hallelujah. So wait on the Lord. Wait on him. He is faithful. And when we wait, because it is a very difficult thing to do. For me, when I assess this year 2023, if I can summarize, if you ask me, how has been this year for you? I'll tell you just one thing. God has made me wait. Hallelujah. There are things that I started asking God and acting upon them since last year. And I was expecting, hoping, and I still expect and hope that the Lord will do it. And this year, the Lord has kept me waiting. But what is God doing meanwhile as we wait on him? Because it's not very easy. When God asks us to wait, it doesn't mean that God is idle. He has his hands closed. No. When we are waiting on God, God is fighting for us. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Hallelujah. The Lord will fight for you. And I want to speak to my fellow Congolese. The Lord is fighting for you. You only need to be still. Hallelujah. You only need to be still. When God is fighting for you, your help is not necessary, because God never needs anything. God cannot be in need of anything. Hallelujah. When we are waiting on God, God is causing us to become more mature in our relationship with him. When we are waiting for the Lord, and when we are waiting on him, Psalm 37, 34, the Bible says, hope in the Lord. In some version it says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit. Hallelujah. And you know, when you are immature, you cannot inherit. So the Lord says, wait on him. And he will prepare you to inherit. In other words, he says, he will cause you to become more mature. He will change your relationship with him from a transactional relationship to a relational relationship. Hallelujah. Because that is what a child needs. When you are a child, you are immature. Your relationship with your father and your mother is transactional. It is based on exchange of goods and services, right? Yes. That's how a child assesses the love of his parents, by how much he receives. It is a very transaction-based relationship. But God wants you and I to become more mature, to have a relationship that is based on mutual connection, on trusts, on shared goals and values, to think like him, to desire the same things like him, to shift our focus from the things that we expect from him to himself. Hallelujah. To shift our focus from the blessings, from the blesser. Hallelujah. That's what happens when we are waiting. When we are waiting on God, God is revealing himself to us, and he's revealing himself through us to other people. Because as you wait, and you and I wait on him, people will start to ask us, why are you waiting? Why are you not doing like other people? You see, you become an enigma to your generation. And when you are asked the reason of your hope, then you have an opportunity to speak about your God. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to somebody who does not know how to witness for Christ. Just wait on him. Wait, wait, wait. Until people will start asking you, why are you not doing like other people? You see? And it will come easy. I have a God in heaven. Hallelujah. I have a God in heaven. He gives me rest even when I don't have what you have or what you are running for. Hallelujah. I have a Father in heaven who can grant me peace in the midst of trouble. Who does not want to have that kind of God? The world is desperately in need of this God. So when we wait, we give to the world an opportunity to discover the God that we believe in. We speak to the world and we are telling the world, the Lord of heaven is worthy of trust. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Hallelujah. Always be ready. So there will always be a time when we will be asked to give a reason for our hope. But that will happen if we learn to wait on the Lord. And Simeon, I'm sure Simeon was somebody who was asked maybe by his name, why are you waiting? And that day when he saw the baby in the temple, all those who could have asked him, who maybe would have asked him before, why are you still waiting? He could say, you see, salvation has come. Hallelujah. The promise keeper has fulfilled his word. So this morning, brothers and sisters, my reminder for you is waiting is not a wasting of time. Waiting is not wasting. Waiting is investing. Waiting is investing your time and investing him in the right place. And nothing you invest in God will be wasted. Hallelujah. Our consolation is on the way. Your consolation is on the way. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, brothers and sisters, let's remember the Lord, the same way God has fulfilled his promise to send the Messiah. If God fulfilled that promise to send the Messiah, there is nothing God cannot fulfill. Hallelujah. You see, if God promised that he who is God will become a man and die for you and I, there is nothing
God cannot do.
So this morning, I want to invite you to rise up and pray with me. And say, Lord, 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 I don't mind waiting. Can you say that to the Lord this morning? Father, I don't mind waiting for you. I will wait. Father, we will wait. We will wait on you because we know you are a promise keeper. We will wait on you because we know you can never betray your word. We will wait on you because you said that you have raised up your word above your name. We will wait on you because you are worthy of our trust. We will wait on you because you sent Jesus. And because you sent Jesus, because you gave us Jesus, there is nothing we will ever like. Father, we put our trust in you. We put our trust in you. Thank you for being a promise keeper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.